Welcome to Intentionalist Podcast. This is episode 4. Today's episode is on a topic that is so dear to my heart, that is also so dear to you. It's a controversial topic. We hear work-life balance all the time, work-life balance, boundaries. Some people tell you, oh, work-life balance is high topic, work-life balance is possible, self-employed. You can only afford and live a work-life balance effectively if you are self-employed. Today's guest is a guru when it comes to boundaries, when it comes to aiming a life of work-life balance. She's a mom, she's a coach, she coaches women to embrace work-life balance, to reinforce boundaries, to have and build assertive confidence. And I'm so honored to have her today. Work-life balance is a dream for every ambitious woman, so that you can be able not only to secure the bag, but also being at the table when the bread is being shared. Many women out here are high achievers. They are busy working so that they can secure the life of their family together with their partners. But rarely we are there when the bread is being shared. Rarely people enjoy the labor. They don't enjoy the fruit of their labor. They don't enjoy even having a moment, hiking on Thursday, leave alone seeing it on Instagram. You as a person. And I believe this is a topic every intentionalist person needs to listen to. So welcome to our podcast.
Thank you so much for the introduction. Like you said, I'm a mom, I'm a coach, I'm a wife, all of those lovely things. And I generally, like, I feel like my life's purpose is to help people to get their shit together, you know? And if you feel like your ish is all over the place, this is what I do to help you to find that balance, to find that peace and that, you know, quiet in your heart about how you're living your life. Yeah.
Why? Let's start by there first.
Yes.
Because I don't think there was any school that teach people to help others to bring their shit together, as she put it. But I believe such a kind of experience or expertise is born out of personal experience and personal progress. Would you like to share with us what has been your personal experience when it comes to boundaries, when it comes not having the shit together?
Yeah. I feel like I've lived 1,000 lifetimes and I'm not even in my 40s yet.
Yeah.
But it comes from experience, of course. It comes from having, you know, wanted to be a career woman, wanting to also have my home life together. And things just not falling together in that area. Wanting to succeed at work and start a family and raise my family and all of that. So learning how to set boundaries in that space is really what helps me to help my clients to set boundaries in those spaces in their lives. Like, for example, you know, I struggled with, because I was in a sales role, with really setting the time boundary of like, okay, do we receive calls after 5 or not? You know, and the client can call at any time of the night and I have to answer and all of that. So it was learning how to set those boundaries in a healthy way and in a way that doesn't sit wrong with either of us. Mm-hmm. That was a very delicate situation to navigate personally. Yes. And then afterwards, of course, when I had my children, it was about learning how to set those boundaries and make sure that my children get enough of me and my work gets enough of me at the same time. But thankfully, I was already self-employed by that time when I had children.
Yeah. Well, I understand that. But since we are all driven by results, especially by somebody who is in sales, you have a certain level of target that you have to meet. Mm-hmm. You have a certain funnel that you have to go through for you to convert a client.
Yeah.
There is this pressure of performance that always come. How does boundary help in such a moment where you know you have to pursue and justify your meaning at that table by the result that you're bringing? What has it been the motive and the drives that took you from not necessarily seeing the conversion in terms of numbers mm-hmm. on sales, but also conversion in terms of peace mm-hmm. and contentment. How mm-hmm. does that, how has that been for you?
It has been a journey.
Yeah.
And I think what you've touched on is very important, that yeah. it's not just about the numbers and the results that you produce at work
yeah.
Or in your business or whatever, but it really is about yourself. For yeah. me, boundaries, the way that I came to understand them, are a form of self-care. It's a form of actually taking care of your future self and your current self. And this is exactly what you need in order to be able to enjoy your future. Otherwise, we burn out. And this is something that I've experienced a few times, burnout, because of trying to pursue two results or two aims at the same time. Like yeah. I want
or multiple.
Yeah, like running in two directions.
Yeah.
You will burn out.
Yeah.
So really learning how to find what matters to me and then walking in that direction, and anything that is, you know, standing in the way of that, mm-hmm. that is me saying no, no, no to that. Very difficult at first, but you do get used to it over time.
Being someone who has been in the corporate for quite some time mm-hmm. and now you're navigating self-employment, you have two facets of what the real challenge really women face when it comes to have a career, run a family,
mm-hmm.
have time for yourself mm-hmm. and your social obligation. Mm-hmm. What are the main challenges that we see women face mostly? Because we cannot talk about career success
mm-hmm.
without necessarily tackling the chaos that comes with it, the inner chaos that comes with it.
Yeah.
When I was still employed, I had been a high performer for a very long time from childhood,
yeah.
always wanting A plus in
yes.
everything. So you go to career with the same spirit, with the same goal. You want high performance, you want high conversion, you want high retention sometime, and you still want to bring the same spirit at home. You have to be the best mom, you want to be the best wife, you want to coordinate everything to the micro level.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the burnout is going to kick in because you cannot stretch that much. What are the main challenges that you as a person you faced
mm-hmm.
or some client that comes to you face, and how do they structure back
mm-hmm.
to having a framework? I feel like boundaries is like a framework of existence.
Yeah.
How has it been for you?
Okay, so the challenges, I'll talk to my own challenges and some of my clients' challenges,
yes.
but altogether it would be around the issue of not being able to switch off, right, from work when you get home and from home when you get to work, which is
yeah,
crazy because
yeah,
when
true.
You're at work, then you've got all these home issues in your head. And then when you're at home, you've got all these work issues in your head. So that leads to a lot of anxiety.
Yeah.
And I'm sure since you're nodding, you already, you have an experience of that as
a
well.
A lot. I can't remember. I used even to have like seen in my head that my child is falling.
Yo.
My child is not covered. My child is not eating.
Exactly.
Or my child is burning. He has touched some those illusion that
yeah.
comes to your head
yeah.
and give you that stressful moment
mm-hmm.
and that high sense of guilt
mm-hmm.
that I'm the last person mm-hmm. to get to know what milestone they have achieved.
Yeah.
Oh, today he has said that.
Yeah.
Oh, today he has done his first step.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever amount of money
mm-hmm.
that you bring to the table, it can never equate.
Yeah.
The sense of guilt that you feel as a woman.
It's true. It's true. And that's definitely one of the biggest
or
issues.
Or as a mother.
Yeah, yeah. One of the biggest issues in terms of the internal struggle.
Yes.
That you experience when you are trying to set a boundary or thinking about boundaries. That guilt,
yeah.
that emotion that tells you I have done something wrong.
Yeah.
Is what drives a lot of our behaviors and drives a lot of our, I don't know, internal turmoil. And you asked about solutions or the way that we, you know, solve for that.
Yeah.
And one of the things or one of the ways that I help my clients to solve for guilt is
yeah.
because guilt is that emotion that tells you I have done wrong.
Yeah.
Then you need to actually interrogate it. Interrogate, find out what the truth is. Did you really do wrong?
I remember sometime my personal story on that is that there was a time I was working so hard. Coming home late,
mm-hmm.
waking up early, to be able to drop the kids to school and then go back to work.
Yeah.
Coming back home late because I have to go back to school. I was still a single mother by then.
Mm.
And one time I got a report from the teacher that your child has not done homework for 7 consecutive days. Yes. And when I went to work, I had this guilt that I'm never present for my kids. I'm never present for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever I'm earning, I don't know where it goes. It was almost like the 20th of the month.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm even struggling to meet the end. So there's that level of frustration mm-hmm. that comes, the guilt that comes. And I remember breaking down at work.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like I'm a failure in all fronts.
Mm-hmm. That's confronting.
Yeah, I feel like I'm a failure in all fronts. And I'm like, God, what did I miss?
Because
I tried to meet all the needs. I'm pulling everything together to see how I can progress.
Mm-hmm.
But everything I'm seeing is negative results.
Mm.
What's wrong? What's wrong here? Going back to see if your kid is not performing well in school, you want to own that guilt as a mother.
Mm.
How do you help women navigate that? That your children's failure has nothing to do with you.
Mm-hmm.
Probably it is lack of routine, lack of practice, lack of work, and then reinforcement that. But don't you think this is one of the things that women are now trying to run away from, that constant feeling of guilt and choosing to be very dependent on their partner?
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to work so that they can stay at home and take care maybe of the basic.
Yeah.
So that they don't feel bad.
The traditional wife movement that's happening
that
right now.
That is happening right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think that contributes to it.
Yeah.
The femininity movement that's happening right now. Oh, I want to embody my femininity and be at home and depend on my husband and all of that.
Mm.
I think that plays a role.
Yeah.
But I do think that there might be a little bit of truth to the fact that, you know, we honestly just cannot have them both exist at the same time. And us have peak joy in both of those. Like there are some things that will be sacrificed.
Yes.
And the key here, the way that I help my clients that are in this situation is to find harmony between
that's
the two
thing.
Things.
Harmony. Yes. Yeah. Where and the balance comes.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And also to manage your mind and manage your emotions
because
guilt is an emotion, and an emotion comes from a thought, right?
Mm.
And your thought being like, oh, I've done something wrong. That's what actually makes you feel bad. And you can actually change your thoughts. Your thoughts are not things that are just given to you that you have to live with.
Yeah.
You can change your thoughts. And when you do that, that's what helps you to actually find better feelings.
True, I agree.
In the journey of motherhood.
What do you think is the biggest pushback for women who are trying to set boundaries? Or sometimes you have boundary, you're trying to elaborate them before they could like farm you are the same person who will sabotage them.
Yeah.
What do you think that sometimes it is very hard for women to stay consistent on their personal boundaries?
I think the hardest thing is wanting to be liked or wanting to be seen to be, I don't know, feminine or nice.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of gender stereotypes. When you set a boundary, when you're being assertive and you're being clear about what you want, then it doesn't quite bode well if you're a woman. Of course, if a man does the same thing, then it looks like, okay, no, of course, let's respect this. So one of the biggest pushbacks is that, the fact that people don't expect women to like stand up and say, this is what I want or this is what I do not want in my life.
Yeah, there is this tendency to quote women who are assertively affirming their boundaries are always quoted as masculine, but that's not true. So everybody can be assertively positive about themselves. When you're self-aware, there is this tendency of telling a woman who speak for themselves, who are bold to speak about their standard vision and desires are always quote as masculine, which is really wrong. The sense of femininity has nothing to do with being laid back or being a doormat or being a yes person.
Yeah.
Yes, you can still be assertive. One of the reasons I stood up and coach assertive femininity is for women to normalize that you can still be a good person mm-hmm. in your standard, in your values, in your boundaries, and still be soft and still be tender and still deliver and be nurturing without necessarily being.
I think it's crazy that people would you know, label you masculine just for that.
Yeah.
Because it's a human need. Boundaries are protective.
Yes.
It's to protect your personal, physical, emotional space. And so why is it that as women we must be left vulnerable and not protect our personal, emotional, and physical space, whereas men are allowed to, you know?
I think even when you are voicing your boundaries, you're mm-hmm. being vulnerable because you're telling somebody that I only operate to my maximum in this type of condition. Yeah. There's vulnerability in
that. Exactly.
There's vulnerability in that because it is a sense of openness.
Mm-hmm.
Vulnerability is not necessarily talking about the negative mm-hmm. or the flows.
Yeah.
Vulnerability is also sharing your truth, sharing your true core values.
Mm-hmm.
I'm vulnerable to tell you who I am without necessarily knowing what you're going to do with that.
Yeah.
Because I remember old school bureaucracy used to tell people, put on CV, are you a person who work under pressure?
And absolutely no one works under pressure.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely
but
no
people
one.
Lie through that. They say, yeah, it's okay, I can deliver under pressure. I came to normalize telling people that, no, I don't work, I don't perform well under pressure. I get irritated, even if it means I will lose that job, but that's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I get irritated, I get troubled, I can't concentrate when I'm under pressure.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I prefer pre-planning early,
mm-hmm.
seeing and project the results, having my notes all together.
Yeah.
That's how I'm wired. Mm-hmm. I don't perform well. There are people who deliver their best at the very day, like when they will not study, they will not do anything.
Yeah.
And then when they see the deadline is tomorrow, they are impelled mm-hmm. to perform. I'm not like that.
Honestly, I call BS on that even.
Yes.
Even that particular trait.
Yes.
I think it's just perfectionism.
Yes.
It's the fear of disappointing yourself if you actually start the work in time.
Yes.
So I know because I used to be that person. I used to think, oh no, I work well under pressure, do things at the last minute, hand it in.
Especially
and then,
you guys in sales.
Right?
Yeah.
And the truth was when I did a lot of introspection, I realized it was because I did not want to be seen to be trying my absolute best and then failing. Because what happens if I study 10 days before the exam, I write that exam and I get 60%.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
But if I study the day before and I get 60%, I'm like, no. If I had more time, I can pull a 90. No, you see. So I think pressure is one of those funny emotions.
Push performers.
That people think create performance, but people don't create their best out of pressure. Mm. They can create.
Yeah.
But not the best.
Yes, true.
I agree. I don't think so.
I agree.
Yeah.
So what are the, let's say, top five mm-hmm. indicators that a listener who is listening to us right now can pinpoint that these are indicators that you have shaky or almost no boundaries that you really need to start now improving and working on your personal boundaries so that you can be a person of a voice.
Yeah.
You can be respectable.
Mm-hmm.
There are women here, you wonder why even people take time to listen to you, take time to take seriously what you say, or you take time to, even your own children, don't take your words seriously.
Yeah.
My mother used to say that when someone is not that serious, even a rat will just pass in front of them. Thinking that, she's nice.
The disrespect.
Yes.
Oh my God, the disrespect.
True. So when you don't have that gravitas
mm-hmm.
in relationships, that mm-hmm. really gives you the power to be heard and to be understood, because that's the most frustrating factor in relationship, when you're not heard, when you're not understood.
I think it's a very good question, and I'm not sure if I will come up with five.
Yeah.
I think the first thing to note is if you are feeling angry a lot within yourself, like frustrated with your relationships, but not saying anything about it, then you've got a boundary issue. I love the emotion of anger because it's an indicator that a boundary is being crossed.
Yeah.
So if you're finding yourself getting upset a lot, that shows you that you might have a boundary issue.
Yeah.
And not the type of anger that's like, oh, I'm just quick to, you know, I've just got a short fuse.
Constant feeling of anger.
It's like just that frustration with relationships and believing people should do things that you have not even communicated.
Yeah.
That's one of the ways that you can see your boundaries are shaky.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing is, of course, if it's difficult for you to say no and you're in a lot of people pleasing tendencies, and doing things that you don't intentionally want to do. You know, you're just doing it by default just because you think this is what's going to hold the relationship together. This is what's going to keep my job here. This is what's going to keep my kids happy.
Fix our mindset.
Yeah. If you're in that space, you've got a boundary issue.
Yeah.
If you're in a space where you are how can I put this? Experiencing a lot of guilt. Then you could also be struggling with boundaries over there. Because when you live a very clear boundary covered, you know, intentional life, you are doing right by yourself constantly. Therefore, the emotion of guilt has no room in your life because the emotion of guilt tells you, I'm doing wrong. But when you're doing right by yourself, you're good.
Yeah,
you're
true. Good.
So I'd say, I mean, those are my top three. I'll think of the other two maybe as our conversation
I would add
goes.
Gatekeeping.
Yeah.
When you like always to defend other people, to excuse other people's mistakes, when you always want to defend situations, you want to put a facade on things and defend, you fear things crumbling.
Yes.
So you end up gatekeeping like, No.
Patching things.
Yes. So that's really that you don't have boundaries.
Yeah.
You are longing validation. So in that gatekeeping, you always want to be the superhero of every relationship.
Yeah.
I want to be known as the most patient person. I want to be known as the most. And it is self-destroying. Really distracting yourself.
It really is.
I would add... apart from gatekeeping and being a fixer and being not being also realistic, because sometimes we tend to give ourselves unrealistic goals and then beat ourselves when we can't deliver.
Yeah.
And another controversial point, it is commonly accepted that women are naturally multitaskers, which I think it's a poor management. It's a management gap when you want to portray yourself that because it is known women are multitaskers, nobody perform at its best when they are multitasking.
Absolutely no one.
So when you find yourself that you are multitasking, you are overcrowding your schedules, you have no room for yourself, for pouring back into yourself, that is also another big sign that you really work on your boundaries.
Yeah.
So we have constant feeling of anger, fixed mindset, gatekeeping, being a fixer, and...
struggling to say no.
Yeah, struggling to say no. And the last one, overcrowding your life with tasks. There are people who, when you tell them, today is your off day, go and rest, and that is the day they will use to go and clean the walls, arrange the clothes, do the most, or they will even go, especially the hustlers or the people who are in the saloon business, their off day is to go for house call. You go to
and then you're constantly working.
Your off day is for you to pour back.
Exactly.
To also go back and fix your hair. To also go back and, you know, take care of yourself, rest, sleep. But because your brain is constantly wired in a certain way, you end up finding validation in the moving.
But I think it's also tied with a little bit of scarcity mindset.
Scarcity.
Because you don't think that you can create enough with a limited, you know, amount. Maybe let's say I work 6 days a week or I work 5 days a week. And you don't believe that 5 days is enough to create livelihood for you and your family.
Yeah, true.
Then, of course, then you're going to go and hustle and do all these extra things. when you're actually depleting yourself in the process and not understanding the power and the importance of rest in productivity. Because I think for me, that was also one of the game changers, and it's the thing that I teach all my clients, that rest is productive work.
Yes,
like
true.
You need to.
It is.
In fact, when I teach them how to schedule, how to plan their weeks and their quarters and months and all of that, the first thing that we plan is rest.
Mm-hmm.
We don't plan anything to do first. You plan, when am I going to rest? And in that moment, when you're resting, you rest without guilt.
Yeah.
So that's part of the self-care that I teach. And usually when you are able to tell your brain that there's a space where we're going to rest without guilt. If we want to scroll Instagram the whole time, we can do that.
Yeah, true.
If we want to just lie on the couch and, you know, be a vegetable, we can do that. When you tell your brain that, then the productivity actually 10x's.
Increases, exactly.
Yeah, because you're no longer anxious that, you know, I might just not get even a space of rest today. Your 8 hours is your 8 hours, and then your rest is your
Speaking rest. Of digital, there is this tendency that we think that, oh, internet is so destructive, social media is so destructive. What is your take on digital boundaries?
Oof. Digital boundaries. This is so hard because this is work that I'm still doing for myself.
It's okay. Let's share our vulnerable side.
You know, right? Yeah. It's difficult because we've got addictions.
Yeah.
These apps are created to have us addicted on TikTok, on Instagram, on all of that.
Yeah.
So setting those boundaries requires the mental fortitude of, I don't know, so many people in one. I think the most practical one probably is trying to separate work from, you know, leisure.
Entertainment.
First of all.
Yeah.
And if it's a work thing, like I've got certain clients who were like taking work commitments all the way through to midnight and beyond and whatnot. And so for them, it was like, okay, get a work phone and then have a personal phone so that you at least the work things you can deal with during work hours.
Yeah.
If that's not possible for you, then you just need to really work on your own mental fortitude to really cut off when it's work time and then, you know, open up again business.
I feel like it's somehow, as you put it, ironic. We complain about the 9 to 5 work, and then you find yourself by 9 p.m. you're in bed, but you're not sleeping.
No.
You can scroll all the way to midnight.
Listen,
that's self-sabotage.
It is.
It's not. It's a lack of boundary. Mm. So I think boundary comes first with discipline and commitment to go beyond habits, to go beyond what your brain is used to and trying to reinforce. The more you practice now, the more you're like shifting the habits and the waves of how the brain responds toward a new beginning of saying, okay, we are sleeping at nine and start shutting up. When I was starting my business, I had that issue as well, because I was creating content on my own. I was scrolling to see what is coming up. Or sometimes I would just lie to myself and say, okay, I'm going to check what the other creators are doing so that I can get inspired.
Then you're inspired until 1 a.m.
Then I'm even gone completely. I'm not able to note down what I will do, what I will do that. I go on save. So I have many saved reels that I have never reproduced. So when you have that tendency and you know that sometime I can't save myself from my own addiction, then you have to compensate that. I have spent 1 hour or 1 hour more, 30 minutes more, 2 hours more from something else, and how do I compensate that time into either, if it was meant for rest, I have not rested. What will I do to compensate that? Because I think this is one thing that we are really struggling with, especially when you have so much digital time, you're not able to get rest, you're not able to sleep, and then obviously it affects your performance. So what would you say?
So, I mean, with that, of course, this is a personal thing that I'm dealing with. And the way that I'm doing it is learning how not to, one, not to feel bad about feeling bad, right?
Yeah, true.
Sometimes
the
you've
guilt,
done this.
The guilt trip,
the guilt comes to you. And then you're like, oh my gosh, I was supposed to rest and I've spent, you know, one hour researching. first of all, don't feel bad about feeling bad. Just notice and be aware that this has just happened.
Yeah.
And then to, you know, protect yourself in the future, what I do, my phone actually automatically shuts down all apps at 10 p.m. Like it's all gone. And then from that point onwards, it is an intentional move that I do to say, you know, open it up for an extra 15 minutes or open it up for 1 minute or just
And you unlock. Resist that? Because I know some people still go and remove the sleep mode to still watch.
You can.
I am in some people.
But now you're aware, right?
Yeah, true.
It's different when you are repeating a bad pattern from consciousness and versus unconsciousness.
Yes.
So when you repeat a bad pattern unconsciously, I always recommend that because that's where you actually learn and that's where you actually can work it out.
Yeah.
Because at some point then you'll be able to instill that boundary and ask yourself the hard question of how.
Yeah.
I said I was going to stop at 10. What is this now?
I tried that. It didn't work.
Okay.
I chose to go and actually charge my phone in a different room.
Okay, that also
so
helps.
That I feel lazy
mm-hmm.
to wake up and go to check.
Mm-hmm.
So the only thing that works by that, it's the alarm.
Uh-huh.
So
okay.
I put it to charge either in the corridor
uh-huh.
or in the office room. So when it rings, I say, oh, it's waking up time.
Yes.
So by then, I'm able to rest.
Mm-hmm.
Or if sometime I'm reaching those season where you wake up maybe at 3 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Or 2 a.m. You can't sleep. You're trying to toss up to see if you will get back the sleep. Before, I would immediately pull my phone and scroll.
Yeah.
And now it's gone completely. So I would try to come back and toss myself to see if I will sleep.
Mm-hmm.
To catch my sleep maybe after 20, 30 minutes after.
Yeah.
But I will not have the tendency to go back to take the phone. That's a tough boundary I had to put for myself.
And it's a good thing you're keeping it because it's really, really healthy.
Yeah.
I mean, having your that light in your eyes, you know, after 10 p.m. is detrimental to your sleep health in any case.
Mm-hmm.
You wanna, you know that. And then also thinking about what am I going to do if I do have those sleepless nights, right? And having a plan in place and not just defaulting to your phone. Because for me, my plan in place, if I do have a sleepless night, is I know exactly where to go into the kitchen, create some moon milk, grab a book, read it. And I know, obviously, reading makes me a little sleepy.
Yes.
By then, within 45 minutes, I'm back to sleeping.
Yeah, I had the same. I would read. Mm. I would take some chamomile.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometime I would make, I happened to learn this recently.
Yeah.
That roasted beetroot and lettuce. So if you can cut some pieces, but don't put any condiment or any sauce, then you just cut them raw the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
You put them on the side. You can have one leaf, just bite that. I didn't know lettuce have those ability to make us sleep.
So no idea.
Beetroot or lettuce and chamomile tea.
Yeah.
It really works
so
well. There is something else my mom used to do for us when we were kids.
Mm-hmm.
Milk
mm-hmm.
with honey.
Yeah.
Warm milk with honey before bedtime. There was that glass. I still have it in my memory.
Mm-hmm.
It made me hate honey because of that.
Really?
Because it was like a medicine before bedtime.
Yeah.
A hot glass with milk.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how effective it is.
I mean, it's effective. That's exactly what I do. It's moon milk. Well,
yes.
I do. I add a little bit of Ayurvedic spices as well.
Yes, because it had some greenery powder, but I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
So I can't stand that taste. It is, even now as we speak.
That time I'm like, ooh, bring it on.
Yes.
I love it.
So it used to really give sleep, but I ended up outgrowing that test because growing up, I said that's the first thing I will never do in my house if I happen to grow up, which I ended up doing.
Yes.
So that really happened. When we speak about boundary, there is always a sense of guilt.
Yeah,
maybe if I say this, people will. If I say no, I might not get. How do we deal with scarcity that comes with this initial phase of living a life within your boundary?
Yeah.
What are the boundary a working professional woman should think of putting in place, and the mechanism of coping with that fear, that is professional boundary, family boundary, relationship boundary, money boundary, friend boundary. Tell us how a woman should navigate that and her coping mechanism when that fear comes in, when I feel horrible that I have not said yes to offense, I have not said offense yes to offense, and yet how she came to my podcast when she needed me to lend her service. Because sometimes we pay back by fear, not necessarily because we really want to.
Yeah, and you've summarized it well, because that's where you are operating from a place of fear.
Yes.
Anyway, you're operating from a place of fear, there is no love in sight, right? No love. Because the opposite of is fear.
Yeah, can you tell them that again?
Like, anyway, where you're operating from fear, there is no love in sight. Zero.
True.
And what sort of relationships are you trying to build where it is based on fear and not love?
Yeah.
Like, these are the types of relationships that will always have you sitting on, I'll say, like, sitting on one bum. You know, when we were sitting in a matatu on the back, in the back there, there's like four people and there's the big mama next to you. And that, why do you want to be riding through life like that?
Like that, true. No. Imbalanced.
It's the most difficult thing that you can do for yourself. So when you set boundaries, you actually allow yourself to skate through life and be like the queen bee sitting at the front.
Yes.
With both bums on your seat.
Yes.
You know, and really navigating your life from that space.
Yeah.
So do you want to be that person that is uncomfortable in all your relationships because it is held together by this one condition of you compromising your values?
Who is always balancing gears.
Yeah, like, no, do you want that? Or do you want to actually enjoy life?
Yeah.
That's the question, right? And when I ask that confronting question to my clients, often that's where it comes out and then it becomes clear, oh, this is how I identify this is actually a boundary of mine. And then now the job is to set it. And then respect and follow through on the consequences that I said are going to happen if you do cross this boundary.
Thank you so much, Ofense. This is so insightful. Let's close this conversation by asking now, how does one know that I'm actually reacting out of scarcity, not out of rationality? This is a fear response. This is a rational response. How does somebody differentiate the two? Coming to the next, that when does a woman know this is an intuitive answer rather than this is an insecurity answer? Yeah. This is my gut speaking.
I think the easiest way to navigate or to identify is this, you know, intuitive or is this just
fear?
Is how does it feel within ourselves? Like we often disembody ourselves and we're not connected to our bodies. But I want us to take a deep breath, be in your body at that time and feel what is happening in your body.
Yeah.
If you're feeling a sense of a contraction, fear is definitely present.
Yeah.
It is there.
Yeah.
This is something that you need to investigate and be like, okay, I might be operating from a place of fear.
Yeah.
When you're making a decision from a place of peace, or a place of clarity, which is what intuition gives you, you don't feel that contraction. It feels peaceful. It feels open. It feels light.
Yeah.
So it's literally about observing what is my body telling me. Our bodies are one of the most powerful
indicators
that we have. So feel your body, be in there, and be aware of what is this feeling telling me. And when you are aware of that, that's when you will know, okay, this is me, you know, being intuitive, and this is me being afraid.
Afraid, because sometimes women confuse the two. When you think it's your gut, it's your intuition speaking, and yet it is just a compounded response from insecurities and fear, then you confuse intuition and insecurity compounds in your brain. And all of a sudden, when you're navigating life, you feel like, I'm doing this because my gut is telling me that. It's not your gut. Those are insecurities speaking. So what are the indicators that, apart from fear, apart from fear, what does that tell you that this is not actually an intuitive response or an intuitive mechanism. Yeah. It's just an insecurity flux.
Yeah, I think for me, it definitely is the clarity versus confusion.
Yeah.
Intuition, what I call hearing from the voice of God, is clear.
Yes,
it's clear. There's no confusion. If you're dilly-dallying and it's very confused and all of that, then you must know. You probably shouldn't listen to this voice.
But I agree with you on that clear, point. Yeah.
Let's go there.
The divine essence of having clarity.
Mm-hmm.
Our God is a God of clarity.
Yeah.
There's no way its pursuit is going to be confusing.
Yeah.
And when I ask a woman that, okay, you want to quit the job, so what? I just want to quit. When you have a feeling that tells you, I just want this.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no afterthought.
Yes.
There is no after plan.
Mm-hmm.
That thing is out of frustration.
Yes.
It is out of fear.
Mm-hmm.
There is lack of clarity.
Yeah.
There is lack of certainty. There is lack of courage.
Mm-hmm.
You think some weird force are going to come and help you and save you
miraculously.
Out. Yes, miraculously. The divine impulse of clarity comes with all those supply.
Yeah.
It supplies certainty. It supplies clarity. It supplies courage.
Mm.
It supplies commitment to say, I'm committed to move to the next level.
Mm.
I'm committed to change my life.
Yeah.
Nobody comes and tells you, hey, Ofense, it's time to move to the next level. It's just an inner feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
What are the words of encouragement would you tell the younger self?
Yes. In terms of around boundaries.
Yes,
my
boundaries,
younger self.
Yes.
I think I would tell her to, one, stop feeling bad about feeling bad. There's already enough bad feelings in your body right now.
Yeah.
Just feel the feeling that is there and keep it moving. Another thing is, you need to know your boundaries, so you need to slow down. I was moving at a rate that was way too fast to figure my life out because I was just trying to, survive. And I think a lot of us are in that space where we don't
normalizing survival mode.
Yeah. So get out of survival mode. Take time to breathe. Take time to understand what do you need.
Yeah.
And then articulate that share it, right?
Yeah.
And be clear about that. Know that it's better to hurt somebody by telling them where you stand rather than betraying them betraying yourself, but also betraying them in the background by saying yes to something you actually mean no to.
Yeah, true.
You know?
True.
So I honestly would tell her that.
Mm.
What else? Set boundaries with kindness, please.
Yeah, true.
I did a very bad thing. There's actually one story that I remember where one of my close friends was encroaching on one of my personal boundaries. I had won a competition competition to sleep over at some hotel for the weekend. And she assumed she was going to be the one that was going to go with me because I didn't have a boyfriend at the time. I was unattached. so I decided to go with a different friend.
Yeah.
And I did not communicate that to her. So obviously she had a hell of a lot of betrayal because she found out online that I had gone with someone else and not her. And that was, and instead of communicating and saying, friend, I know you want to go, but I really want to go with this friend of mine because we've had a longer friendship, or I consider her, my best friend, in that moment. So, and instead of just being passive aggressive and then just, showing up online and being like, she'll figure it out. So being more kind with my friends, I would definitely say it's kinder to actually communicate up front what your boundaries are.
Yeah,
as opposed to, just acting.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you on the same.
Mm.
It's communicating your desires. How do you want things to function?
Yeah.
The best way, the expectation that you really want.
Mm-hmm.
And also leave room.
Mm-hmm.
I think one thing that used to frustrate me the most is to always expect people to deliver exactly to my expectation.
Mm-hmm.
Not knowing necessarily, how can't you understand this simple thing? You understand?
Yeah.
Not having that patience to let the person set the pace, understand how you like your things being done, how you get there.
Mm-hmm.
The boundary as well of informing yourself that you're not that important.
Yeah.
In fact, the minute that you leave, someone else is able to do and this occupy that role. So we have to have that, not having that high level of self-relevance,
mm-hmm.
of telling myself that it's okay, let someone else shine,
mm.
let someone else do this,
mm.
it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Being also a person who has always wanted to A+, A+, you think even in the relationship it is A+.
Yeah.
No. Relationship, people will hate you for real. Yeah, people will just don't like your vibe, and it's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, not forcing relationship, not get picking, not oversupplying in relationship, waiting for the reciprocity to happen.
Yeah.
I think most of the time the danger of people who are always in a people-pleasing behavior, they don't wait for reciprocity. They keep oversupplying attention, oversupplying love, oversupplying presence, oversupplying, because they want you to notice that they are good. They are the one, pick me, pick me, pick me, please pick me. Can't you see that I'm nice?
Yeah.
So those are the things that I would tell my younger self, that it's okay. Let those who are meant to be in your life discover you.
Mm-hmm.
And play a match game.
Mm-hmm.
Supply A, expect A back.
Mm-hmm.
Don't supply B when the other side is not there yet.
Yeah, yeah.
So being intentional in our relationship. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying being calculative, because there is a tendency of people who come into relationship with a calculator.
Yeah.
Okay. She bought me a 200 bob gift. Mm-hmm. Let me go and look for an equivalent. Mm-hmm. No. Reciprocity should be natural, should flow organically.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the etiquette.
Yeah.
You have been to my house. I have been to your house. The least I can do it is also to invite you so that it's courtesy to invite you so that you also visit me.
Mm-hmm.
That is a culture shock I happen to see in Kenya
because...
You will say, okay, let's meet. It's okay. People meet in restaurant for ages.
Yeah, yeah.
Rarely people go to people's home.
Mm-hmm.
Being born and raised in a French culture, it was different, because I visit you to your home.
Mm-hmm.
I'm obliged to invite you to my home.
Yeah.
At least in a 1 week or 2 weeks or that month. You might end up having friends that you have never stepped in their house for 6 months, 9 months, and yet they have come to your house over and over again.
Yeah.
So having boundaries in that space, navigating friendship in a manner that, what is the tendency of this culture?
Mm.
What is the tendency? It's not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. Maybe they are just skeptical to bring people in their house. It's not necessarily that they don't like you.
Yeah.
So having a way of understanding culture and how the culture is translated.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important. Yeah. Then now you embracing it so that you don't feel hurt or betrayed in one way or another.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
Are there books or resources women who are listening to us can further go and study about boundaries?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think personal boundaries, there's a psychologist called Nedra Tawab.
Mm.
Love her so much. Just following her account is enough.
Yes, it is.
But she's got a book called Set Boundaries, Find Peace.
Yes.
Fantastic resource.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Add it to your book.
Put it in.
Yeah.
Another one that I think, professional boundaries, that helped me, like a game changer, was one called Nice Girls Don't Get to the Corner Office. Love that book.
Can you say it again?
Nice Girls Don't Get the Corner Office.
Yes, they don't.
No, they don't.
They don't get the office with a view. They are in the corridor or the forefront.
Uh-uh.
Yes,
and
true.
We are trained to be nice girls our whole lives. We get into corporate and it's dog eat dog over there.
Yes, true.
So you need to learn how not to be a nice girl. Of course, you know, lay boundaries, be assertive, and all of that. But you won't get the corner office if you keep trying to be nice. And then the final one is also an international one by Sheryl Sandberg, Lean In.
Lean In, yes.
I found that quite helpful in terms of just seeing her journey and how she navigated it as a woman, on how she set boundaries between home and between work and all of that. Mm-hmm. I found that inspirational personally. So I think those three resources will definitely
Lean In the first, because it has also aspect of femininity.
That's
of
true.
Patience, yeah. Of setting a system, but to give it time for it to nurture, for it to work.
Mm-hmm.
Check all those resources. Mm-hmm. And I would like to close our episode by also allowing Ofensei to speak a little bit about the kind of help she gives clients, where you can find her, the offers that she has, so that you can be able to, if you know this is something that you are really struggling, being an intentionalist is to know that I need help instead of keep juggling and reading 1,000 things. I need professional help.
Mm-hmm.
These are the quick fix women need. The quick fix is not to go to download freebies, is not to go to attend free webinars, is to invest and allow yourself to be helped.
Mm-hmm.
So, Ofensei, would you share with our listeners
where
can they find you? What are the resources that you have that can help them set boundaries and live intentionally?
That's beautiful. Mm. I love what you just said right now, and I just want to reiterate it, that these resources that I've just shared and the information that we shared here, it's so important for you to just put it into action. It is not enough for you to say, tick, I've listened to this podcast, lovely, my life is great, or I've read this book, my life is great. No, put it into action. If you read one book this year and implement it, you've done better than the person that read 52.
True.
You've
done
much better.
Yeah.
So do that. And how I can help you on your journey. So I'm a coach, of course. I do one-on-one coaching. The offers that I have right now is 3-month coaching package or a 6-month coaching package, just depending on how much we want to work through. And you can get a hold of me on Instagram. That's my favorite place to play, at Ofensetipa. And then my second favorite place to play is on my email list. You'll find it somewhere over there. Book a consult, get in touch with me.
We will add all the details in the description so that people can be able to click. If there is a link, they can click. If there is a freebie you want to give or something, an entry point of your offer, you can always add that in the description.
But like everything that you need will be on my Instagram. It's right there.
Thank you so much, Ofensei. It was lovely to share and to discuss this immense topic on work-life balance that really women need to fetch if they really want to have an organic, sustainable growth so that they pursue their dream fearlessly, guilt-free, and also achieve the life of their desire.
That's
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome.
All right.